Kangaroo Island suffered terribly from the summer bushfires, losing 90 homes and farms, thousands of koalas and other native animals as fires scorched one-third of the island. Then the tourism industry took another hit as rebuilding infrastructure was halted by the pandemic that also saw many staff leave the island for jobs on the mainland. But the locals have pulled together and a strategy for recovery is working so far, with visitor numbers up 55% on this time last year. Graham Kemnow spoke recently with Mary Lou Corcoran of Kangaroo Island Tourism.
Mary Lou, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Now, you guys have really must have been in the perfect storm. You got whacked by the bushfires very badly and a lot of your wildlife particularly. We saw horrific images that went around the world. And then no sooner have you got that sorted out and you're all inviting us over for a cup of tea and it's gone, and COVID comes along and gives you another clip behind the ear. You must have just reckoned it wasn't your day. Months,
all year.
Week.
Yeah. All year. all year. Yeah, look, it has been a very trying year for all residents on Kangaroo Island and all business owners. The bushfires were extremely, very impacting on our community and our product to the internationals. So during the course of the fires, obviously, as you mentioned, there was a lot of footage that went overseas. So we had extensive cancellations from our international clientele. I'd have to say during this process, one thing I have learned that is community comes together when they need to support other community. We lost over 90 homes and that included lots of farms that were impacted with all the loss of their sheds and their stock and all of their equipment. And of course, after bushfires, it usually means that community comes together and volunteers came over to help assist with the rebuild. But then that got put on hold as well due to COVID. And of course, that has created, you know, several issues within the community because the build and the rebuild has been delayed by quite a significant amount of time. Remembering that in the bushfires, a lot of our tourism infrastructure at the western end of the island was impacted as well. So Flinders Chase is our beautiful national parks, and we lost a visitor information centre down there as well as some houses. We lost some hotels. The beautiful Southern Ocean Lodge was burnt to the ground, unfortunately.
That's very popular with the American visitors, I gather.
With the international clientele. It is absolutely amazing, but they are strong and they will rebuild. There's one thing that everyone has stated quite clearly on this island, the community spirit can't be burnt.
So,
and that's important.
Have you lost many residents who've sort of said, oh, it's too hard, I'll go and, you know, go somewhere else?
Well, a lot of our staff within the hospitality sector and the tourism sector were from off-island. We only have a very small population. So during that period, we did lose a lot of skill base because they'd lost employment options. And, of course, then COVID also, we lost the remainder of our skill base. And so the rebuild has been difficult in the way of even just retaining staff or regaining staff. But I will say that most people that have ever experienced the island come back, and slowly they are coming back.
No, that's good.
To assist us with it. We've had an extremely busy school holidays, which were over the moon, with South Australian Tourism Commission have been amazing in relation to promoting the island. And as we are limited to, well, we were limited at the start to intrastate travel, it was great that we were able to know that a lot of South Australians that had never had a taste of the island had that opportunity. And now that we're slowly opening up to interstate travel, I think it's a great opportunity for so many Australians to experience what's on their doorstep. And that's beautiful Kangaroo Island.
Certainly sounds great. Tell me, how many visitors would you have typically hosted in a holiday period on the island prior to the fires and the COVID?
During the summer holidays, we're extremely busy. These holidays, because we're sort of sitting on the edge of winter and summer and experiencing different weather conditions, it's usually a bit quieter. But from what I can see as the general manager of the Aurora Ozone Hotel, We're up 55% on last year's actuals the amount of tourists that are coming. And what we've experienced is a lot of the tourists that are coming are families, which is fantastic. Families from South Australia, so lots of kids around, because we have some great attractions. We have everything from sand surfing to quad biking to our amazing wildlife options with Rapture Domain, where they do the eagle displays, to our koala parks. And, of course, we had a lot of impact on our koalas during the fires, and the rebuild has been amazing, and the support around the animals and the wildlife has been amazing. But it is amazing also to see how quickly a regeneration can occur within the bush. And so you'll see still a scar on our community in relation to the burn, but the regeneration has been amazing. So there's still lots of green now reappearing, lots of yakkas, which look beautiful.
Yeah.
They must be the most resilient plants on the earth.
They're pretty tough, I think.
Pretty tough. But also the community spirit of everyone jumping in and helping each other. We're all here to, you know, help each other out, and that's the most important thing. So I suppose the pressure was a little bit more on us with the school holidays, because there's still some attractions that have been closed due to the fires.
Mm.
But there is still so much to see and do on the island, and I think that's what a lot of South Australians, and we've had a lot of Northern Territorians through as well.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't believe the vast options and offerings of the island, which is great.
Quite the range of accommodation. Obviously, Southern Ocean Lodge, the one that burnt down, was at the top of the tree, I would guess, in quality and price and everything. What can you go? You can almost go right down to a tent on the beach, can't you?
Well, probably not on the beach, but
close by in the dune.
close by. We do have a wide range of accommodation. So we might have lost Southern Ocean Lodge, but we still have a lot of fantastic holiday homes that are situated across the island in random little spots that have the most amazing aspects and outlooks and isolation, so that relaxation can take place, and surrounded by natural beauty and iconic structures.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into things like the B&Bs. We have options of several different hotels with different star ratings across the island. And we also have that market where you have all the caravan parks or the tent sites, which are great, dotted across the island, so you can get some different options. I think there's no reason why through a course of a stay of 4 days that you wouldn't stay in a different place each day, because the island is actually quite large.
I guess some people in other states and overseas wouldn't necessarily realise that there's a car ferry that they can take. So they can take their own car and van or camper van or whatever on the ferry to Kangaroo Island and drive all around the island, can't they?
That's correct, and it's a great option. We also do have on island lots of people that provide transport services, and for different amounts of people, everything from large buses of 40 down to the smaller cars where they can take 5 to 6, 8 people around.
Hmm.
Of course, they have a lot of set tours. A lot of the tourism market right now, or tourism operators, have had to obviously diversify a lot of their product. And so we've got all these new adventures that are opening up, like electric bike tours and things like that.
That sounds good.
But we encourage people to bring over their cars. SeaLink is the ferry that links us. It's about 14.5 km across Backstairs Passage.
Yes.
It takes about 35 to 40 minutes, and it's part of the adventure, and it actually is the first part of you learning to relax and wind down and join us on island time.
Mm. So you drive from Adelaide.
Just further on from Victor Harbour at Cape Jervis, where you get on the ferry.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through the beautiful Fluria Peninsula, which has so much to offer as well, with wineries and food options. And so that's a great little adventure coming through that. Some lucky tourists and locals this year have been also able to sight the whales from the ferry.
Oh, what's a bonus.
Usually you have a lot of dolphins and seals chasing you, but this year they've had the privilege of also being able to have the sightings of whales, which is amazing. We're still an island, so we're still isolated. We have an airport that was only just rebuilt 2 years ago now, and it's a fantastic airport. But we do have flights in from two different suppliers, and they do two flights each a week in and out.
Out of Adelaide, is it?
And that's out of Adelaide, yes. Right.
Now, you had built quite a good bit of business in the cruise sector with ships calling into Kangaroo Island, I think for the first time in recent years. Obviously, that's gone down the tubes for the minute. What's your hope in that area, Mary Lou?
The cruise ships are fantastic. They dock, they go through Backstairs Passage, which is between the Fleury Peninsula and the Kangaroo Island area, and they stop at Penashore and they hop off and they have the option of going to lots of different markets and local shops around the area. We hope that that will be rebuilt. We only started off with only a couple of cruise ships coming in, and that expanded up to, I think it was about 26.
And how many passengers would have disgorged onto your island?
Oh, well, it depends, but you know, anywhere between, it could be anywhere between 300 and 1,500.
Graham Kemlow was speaking with Mary Lou Corcoran of Kangaroo Island Tourism.
This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.